There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, and here we go, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday edition, not even Friday Eve, the real thing, the Friday edition of the show. Phone number and the text line, a lot of y'all know it, but there's always new people. So for the new people out there, listen up. The just one set of digits you got to remember for both call and text, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. And you'll keep that handy in addition with the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can use that to leave us a talkback message. Let you on the front page of the app, you'll see a microphone icon. And if you just press that microphone-looking thing, lets you record a message, emails to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. So check those out as well. All right, coming up in the second hour of the show, Rob Morris is going to join us. And he called me earlier in the week about this and sounds like from just the people I've mentioned it to, there's a lot of people interested in who is coming to town. As Dr. Frank, who, if you know Dr. Frank, working with Mike Lindell on exposing the voter fraud going on. They seized these files in Georgia, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. And he is going to be in town. Dr. Frank will be in town tomorrow at Hillspring Baptist Church on Eliza Jordan. Speaking there, but yes, the what happened in Fulton County, the FBI searched Fulton County's election office, and so that's going to be part of the discussion, and then like the bigger story as well. So get your questions ready, hour number two, as Dr. Frank's coming to town, but Rob Morris joins us to talk more about that. So those will be good text line questions. You get them rolling at the end of this hour, and then I'll ask them in hour number two. Also, let's take a look at Trump and housing. I think we should start off with that. I mean, we get the Don Lemon thing. We'll get to Don Lemon thing in a second. We'll get there. But the Trump and housing thing, I think, is interesting. And it's, all the questions about affordability, right? Affordability. That's that new word out there. The affordability. What does that mean? Well, President Trump is talking about bringing down prices on things. But what about housing? So Trump earlier today had this to say about the price of housing. Go ahead and hit cut one.
One of the things God said, though, is, again, existing housing, people that own their homes, we're going to keep them wealthy. We're going to keep those prices up. We're not going to destroy the value of their homes so that somebody that didn't work very hard can buy a home. We're going to make it easier to buy. We're going to get interest rates down. But I want to protect the people that for the first time in their lives feel good about themselves. They feel like they've, that they're wealthy people. And I want them to understand that, there's so much talk about, we're going to drive housing prices down. I don't want to drive housing prices down. I want to drive housing prices up for people that own their homes. And they can be assured that's what's going to happen.
There you go. Drive housing prices up as part of affordability. But I think it's interesting. We talked about this some yesterday, and we're talking about the interview we did with Senate candidate Jared Hudson, and he was talking about getting the prices of homes down, and then a lot of y'all chimed in on the text line. But here is specifically President Trump talking about not driving the price of a home down, but the cost of borrowing. Now, this is this is the big question as we're going to have a Fed cycle change coming up in May. And he's somebody who has friendlier ideas about interest rates to President Trump going to be taking the helm. But here's the housing strategy that the Trump administration, the president's talking about, is really just based on the cost of the interest. So cheaper financing, not specifically bringing the price of a home down, which is at least makes more sense to me because I was trying to figure out, like we talked about yesterday, how you would actually do that. How you'd actually, would you tell the person, you know, the lumber company to go less, the shingle company to go less, the screws to go less, the sheetrock to go less, the carpet to go less, the light fixtures go less, the plumbing to go, you know, how do you do that? And people kind of heard President Trump talking about lowering the price of housing, and they jumped to think maybe he means the actual cost of the house. I think he's pretty clear on that. He wants to drive the cost of a house up out there, but he wants to lower the interest rate. He's pushing like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to, they've said here in a story, to buy up $200 billion in mortgage-backed securities to try to push mortgage rates down. Y'all that love populism, here you go. This is it, right? More government involvement in this. He would like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to buy up $200 billion in mortgage-backed securities to try to push mortgage rates down. Of course, a lower rate would mean less monthly for buyers, right? You're less interested in that. But it would not be, as you just heard in that clip, be a push to actually lower the cost, the price of that house down. So it does it make a difference? Sure. I mean, low interest rates can make a definite difference on what you can buy. Of course, we saw what happened when they got too low, 2007. Everybody remember that? He also has said he's going to crack down on Wall Street firms that are buying up the single-family homes. We've talked about that in the past, the BlackRock, which I hear more people calling BlackRock, the company BlackRock, Blackstone. And Blackstone's a griddle, right? Cook a delicious breakfast. BlackRock is the, you know, the overlord company out there buying everything. But, yeah, the Trump administration saying they're going to try to keep the corporations out there, Wall Street firms, from buying up single-family homes. I don't know exactly how you do that. And if you're lowering the interest rate, then wouldn't that make it more appetizing even for those investors? It says also, you heard President saying he wants people to have buy a house, but he wants to protect the value that the homeowners have gained. What did he say in the clip? For the first time in your life, you feel good about yourself or something? Well, but yes, it's a big deal for families, right? The value of your home, and that's the number one investment for most people. Most of their equity is in a home. So he wants to keep the housing prices high for those current owners and then not push them down. And really, honestly, I'd love to hear from you on a text line what you could do to push the actual price of the house down. Other than financing, what would you do? I mean, it's a demand-based thing, right? But if you think about this, this is kind of where we've been, though, before we had these inflationary issues. The price of a house, like the people, like the boomers get a lot of, yeah, boomers out there, y'all get a lot of scorn about this from other generations, really not me and Generation X, but younger than us, because you hold on to your houses. And those houses that you bought, even taking in the inflation and what's happened over time, y'all have made killings on those houses. From what you put, what part of your salary you put to buy that house in 1980, although you paid some ridiculous high interest rates there for a while, to what it's worth now, people are, you know, the kids today can't afford the money to buy you out of that house. So Trump's talking about protecting that value in those houses going forward. I don't know. If you lower the interest rates, right? So, I mean, supply and demand. The only way you could drive down the number of or the cost of a house is have fewer people buying them, which they're kind of doing in a way now, or just have more houses, which if you look in Mobile and Baldwin County, they're building houses like crazy. But, you know, it's either supply or demand, right? If you have more houses out there, you could have, I guess, more supply would be less demand, but you could actually raise demand if you put more houses out there at the same time you lower interest rates and more people are part of the market. So where do you go from there? All right, we'll hear from you on the text line at 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. It's Midday Mobile. Glad you're here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, y'all, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. 251-343-0106 gets you through. And so you heard the clip. President Trump says, actually, I don't want to bring down the prices of houses. I want to make them go up. Prices of houses to protect existing owners' wealth. He just is focused on interest rates. So much of discussion. I mean, this came from, I guess, yeah, we had the conversation, I think it was yesterday, with Jared Hudson running for Senate, and he talked about bringing the price of homes down. And then we got in a little side discussion after he came off to what did that mean? And people were talking about, you know, how much different things the homes cost. But President Trump is not talking about that. He's talking about interest rates. I will say this. So there is supply and demand. It doesn't move as quickly as, you know, washing machines probably or cars out there. But yes, a tight, when you have a tight supply, that's the seller's market. You've heard that. Hey, guy, you're going to get good money. You're in a seller's market. Or when there's a lot of houses out there, the realtor's telling the prospective home buyer, you're in a buyer's market, right? Lots of houses out there to buy. Right? You make a deal here. So that does drive the price, right? I mean, like anything in economics, it's not always, you know, as exact or as immediate in different. You could go to items like a home is probably going to move more slowly than a car or something like that. But it still absolutely goes with the laws of economics, supply and demand. Now, the difference is, though, if you had, let's say you had supply everywhere. There were houses for sale everywhere. But the interest rate was, you know, I mean, it's funny how shocked we are where the, you know, interest rates at 3 or 4. Because I remember my parents talking about, you know, being in the teens when they were buying. But we got so spoiled. Remember the days of, oh, man, are you getting under 2, right? For interest rates? So when they go up, it doesn't matter what they had been in the past. It's what the recent past was. So people think they're high. So well, let's say for this exercise that the housing market was flooded. Somehow we just immediately another few million houses sprung up, you know, overnight. But the interest rate stayed, maybe they went higher. Maybe the interest rates are at 9%. Well, now you've got kind of a little weird economic question. You have a bigger supply than demand, right? But you don't have people buying. The prices of the homes would come down, the actual price, but the financing would keep it from being purchased. So one of the things I thought, you know, in this, if you just lower the mortgage rates, like the president's talking about, and getting Jay Powell is out. That's Jerome Powell to the rest of y'all. Jay Powell is out in May. New Fed director in, more favorable to Trump's ideas about interest rates. You drop the interest rates. Well, if the housing supply doesn't actually increase, and you can say that's because lack of illegal labor out there, you can fill in the list. Say the housing supply does increase and you lower the mortgage rates, do you change much in the price? So that's why I think it's a little bit more nuanced than just like, hey, the price of a new truck, or there's so much supply because people aren't buying them, the price goes down because it's whatever celebration they got going on. Don't you love that one? It's a celebration. That's when you get the deals, right? All right, I was asking you these questions on the text line, so let's go through here. And first up, Billy D., said, hey, Sean, Billy D, one more time. And when it comes to housing, the first time home buyer is going to have to realize they're probably only going to end up with a 1200 square foot home other than a 5-bedroom, 3-bath and a half bath pool in the backyard kind of home straight up on that one. I think a voice text sometimes is a little harder. OK, and I'm sorry, Billy, you sent me one before. So Billy D said first, I'm sorry, I read that out of order. I'm out of order, Your Honor. Billy D said, I don't know if you got me. Maybe there's more before that. There we go. Now I'm finally at your first text. All right. Thank you, Billy D. Said, look, it wasn't the low interest rates that caused the fiasco in 07 and 08. It was a deregulation put in by Bill Clinton saying that you were allowed to say any income that you require or possible income that you can acquire be added in so you can afford this $1, $2, or $3 million home. Let me just say this. If you got any extra time on this frigid weekend, the movie's called The Big Short, and I'm a guy that doesn't see tons of movies, but it's one of my favorites. The Big Short. Go watch that. If you want to know how my brain works, it's kind of like goes on in that movie. Ability says, also, let's see. one more time. And yeah, when it comes to housing, the first time home buyers are going to have to realize they're only going to be able to end up with a 1200 square foot home. Well, but that was reality for most of us, right? You know, my first home, when I returned home from Tuscaloosa in Chickasaw, is way less than you could buy a truck for now. That's what I paid for it. And I'm not that old. I mean, ask my kids, I'm old, but I'm 53. And I bought my first home for less than $50,000. First home. By the time I sold that home, I'm trying to get the math right. Let's say 4 years later, 5 years later, I made an extra $50,000 on the sale. So that happened that quickly. Now, that was before 07 and all that, but all right. Squirrel Vereen, I wish I would have done some renovations on a property in an undesirable part of town so now I might be able to sell it for a few thousand dollars. Pat says, can we talk about the contractors adding 30% profit on top of every subcontractor that's already charging a 30% markup? That would be a great start. I remember when general contractors only made 8 to 10% per home built. Okay, so Pat, then is there a cartel? Are they all in consort? Because it seems like the contractor that would charge less would get more work, therefore make more money over time. I mean, do you want the government to tell the contractors how much they can add on? I mean, it should be the market deciding. I mean, one contractor may want to charge 90%. They're not going to get the work that the guy that charges 25% will get. So I don't know how, that's what I'm saying. With all this discussion of affordability and bringing the price of homes down, I mean, what President Trump is saying is that's interest rates. Now, he, of course, went on to say, I want to make sure home prices go up for people to protect the wealth they have in their home. Okay. But I don't, how would you in, and I was going to say a free market, we're not exactly in a free market, but a freer than like some places market out there, how would you force the price down by, would you tell, I mean, would you do price fixing and tell contract subs and general contractors what percentages they could add? B-Dark said, I ain't never paid interest on anything. All right, duly noted. I don't like to pay that either, B-Dark, if you listen to me over time. It's not, I have, but it is not, I find every way to get around it. But for homes, I did. So that's one place I did. I would drive a crappy vehicle for a long time, not to have to finance a vehicle, but I paid interest on every home I owned. Rock and Roll Doctor said, end limits on capital gains for residential homestead. Some will buy up, some will buy down. Either way, more product will move, and there will be more competition for the folks entry-level houses who step up, opening more inventory for first-timers. $250,000 max for single filers, please. That's interesting. Now, there's a mechanism. Now, Rock and Roll Doctor versus, like, you know, Pat's talking about, you know, the percentages these contractors make. I don't think I want a republic that tells people what profit they can, you know, try to make on what they're doing, if they good whatever. But if you end limits on capital gains, now there is a lever there that might be more in the wheelhouse of what I think government, I mean, still probably overstepping, but still they're already in the mix. So if we're going to protect capital gains there, I see what you're saying. That's one mechanism I think might work. David said, you're not going to get meaningful housing affordability reform until you eliminate property taxes. As long as government, local, state, as long as governments, local and state, depend on property taxes for revenue, they actually have zero or negative incentive to lower the cost of housing, because rising housing costs means more property tax revenue without actually increasing taxes. Yeah. It's the millage, baby. It's the millage. Let's see. Please bring this up on your show. All right. Unnamed texter. What am I bringing up here? Said dangers of solar. Oh, it's like we're on another subject, but I'll read this. Dangers of solar farms include environmental impacts like habitat loss, soil erosion, and water runoff issues, ecological disruptions affecting wildlife, potential exposure to toxic materials, lead and cadmium from panels, especially during manufacturing or disposal, land use conflicts, socioeconomic effects on communities. All right. Brought up. Unnamed texter. I think I said something similar yesterday. I still believe in private property rights, so. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile, Friday style. Glad to have you along, and a good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Inventory was coming in this week. You're waiting on another truckload.
Yeah, we got another truck this morning. Should have another one this afternoon. So, yeah, if you're looking for anything, now's the time. You know, we can help you keep some of that tax money with just a small down payment and get a nice car with a warranty that's going to cover stuff, not like some of these warranties that don't cover anything. And you buy a Ford from us, we're going to sell you a warranty that you can take to the Ford store. You buy a Chevrolet or a GMC from us, we're going to sell you something. You can take it to a GMC or a Chevrolet store for service. So anything we can do to help you.
All right. I didn't realize that. So you got that on top of the fact you got the selection, and you got the selection and financing as well.
We do. The warranties are a big deal. People don't even they don't realize how important they are. I mean, I've always said it's health insurance for a car. It's no different. You go into the doctor because you don't feel good. You pay a copay warranty on a car. You pay a deductible. You know, it's $100 probably. But motor blows up, air conditioner goes out, engine transmission. You know, something happens. They're built by people. You know, things do happen. So it's no sense in not covering yourself.
All right. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. If you want any information about the warranties we sell or whatnot, come by and see us. Be glad to go over it with you and show you the ropes.
Thank you, David.
Have a good day, bud.
All right. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Let me get to some of these texts here. And unnamed texter said, it seems like it's easier to rent a big, nice house than to buy one right now. Michael, any contractor that's charging less than 25% markup won't last more than 5 years. That's why the average new roofer stays in business for less than 3 years. If these people saw retail markups, they'd think contractors were too cheap. Yeah, in retail, in 30%, I think, and I'm not an expert in this, I'm not, a long time since I worked in retail, but I think 30%, isn't that, or is that restaurants? Now, somebody will correct me on the text line. I think 30% is like the regular number, y'all, for retail or food or those kind of things. So the fact that, you know, Pat was talking about the contractors, but what Michael Pat was saying, though, is it's multi-steps along the line, not just the GC, but you got the subs and then the GC, you know, you have multiple 30% in there. But I still don't know how he plans to change that, to tell people what they could charge or not charge. The texter says here, wonder if you consider your original Chickasaw location as safe now, small homes typically in the hood. I don't know. I love my place in Chickasaw. I rode through there. It's been a year or two, but it seemed fine. It was, I give the street. I mean, Myrtlewood, in Chickasaw. Loved it. A big backyard, big shop. I mean, I don't have a shop like that now. And here was my first house. I had a shop that y'all guys and some gals out there, I had a shop that was like, make sure I'm being concerned. It was 400 square feet of shop or something like that. It was unreal. It was awesome. All right. Jerry, Fort Morgan, the big home builders in this area could cut out lawyers and any laws that were passed to protect the home buyers. We can't even keep them from allowing runoff into the waterways. It's ridiculous. David says here, the biggest thing you could do to bring down the cost of housing in this country, especially new housing, is streamline and reduce the regulatory process that the home builders have to go through to build a new home. Dakota said, the GC bids the job by asking all the other subs to bid their section of the job. Then they bring it all together, and that's how they win the contract to do the main project. That's in commercial work, though. Residential, usually about the same on new builds. So there you go. All right. So on the phones, we'll go to, is it unnamed texter on the phone or unnamed caller? All right, unnamed caller, go ahead.
My name's Annie, and I'm the unnamed texter about the solar
Okay.
farm.
Hey, Annie.
Hey, I love you guys. Did you report on the solar farms coming into Stockton already?
It was on the show. It wasn't on my show yesterday. It was on the station yesterday, but I commented on it. Just that's one of the questions I had. Like, I absolutely see the, you know, when I see the solar farms over in Florida is where I've seen them more. And I'm like, heck, that was great ag ground or something like that. Now, solar farms, at the same time, I believe in private property rights for somebody to be able to do what they want with their property, as long as it doesn't, there's not runoff onto the next property or something like that.
Right, but they're planning this for, I'm thinking, who does it serve? Because Stockton, I live in Stockton, and it's tiny, and we don't need it. And when a hailstorm comes and those things break, that's it, and they, you can't recycle them. But who is it serving? I want answers, because it's pretty disturbing, because it's going to get, you know, we hunt, we fish up here. And it's quite disturbing to think that Meta, well, money's always more important than people. So I just, it's disturbing to me and my husband and several other people that live up here.
So what's the footprint of it? Do you know how big it's supposed to be?
It's pretty big. It's going to be millions. LandYap won't let me, look at the total details of it, and the community of Stockton had posted it, but it's going to be pretty huge, like 4,500 acres or something like that. I mean, crazy.
You know, and Meadows done this in Montgomery, right? They got the one in Montgomery. Well, and around Birmingham, there was a kind of a different discussion where they were going to be pulling off the regular grid. And so I guess I don't want to make a mistake. I think it's Alabama Power, but it could be some other utility up there said, OK, well, we're going to raise the rates for everybody because of this extra pull. So that one I thought was pretty tough, too, for folks up there. We're going to have to pay more per, you know, for their power bill because Meta was going to be pulling from it. So then the other side is, OK, well, then have your own power system that doesn't pull off it. Well, that's what they're talking about with these with solar farms, or in some cases, the nuclear power facilities are talking about doing as well.
I'd rather have nuclear, but it's supposed to power Montgomery. We're 2.5 hours from Montgomery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my question is, who is this going to serve? Who and what? Because Montgomery, what do they run cable all the way? You know what I mean? And when you get hail and these things break, they leak into the ground, and then the wildlife, you know.
Well, do they have mitigation? Well, yeah, man, they should have some sort of mitigation, right? If this is going to, if it does something that affects somebody else's land, then they're liable for it.
Yes. I mean, how is it going to, it's going to power Montgomery. They're 2.5 hours away. I'm grumpy. It makes me grumpy.
Well, I understand. I mean, if it was in my backyard, you know, that's the old the NIMBY thing, then I'd probably not be crazy about it either. But it's at the same time, I respect somebody else's rights to do, you know, to sell their land, to do what they want to do with it within reason, as long as it's not affecting. Yeah, don't do something that runs off onto somebody else's property, but as long as it stays on theirs.
But if there's a hailstorm or something and these things leak into the ground, it gets into the groundwater and the drinking water, and you know, they have a right to do it, yes, but I'm just mad.
Well, but no, they maybe they need to show. I think what's fair is, even with me saying people have the right to do this on private property, they also, if there's something like this, you have to show me how, if something goes wrong, like you're describing, Andy, that you protect it from, you know, cadmium getting in the ground or running off onto somebody else's property. Asking if you're doing something like that, say, okay, you have the right to do it, but you got to show me what's your plan for mitigating some kind of you know, leak or some kind of damage to the environment.
Right. I get it totally. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I wasn't sure if you mentioned it. I couldn't listen to you yesterday.
I mentioned it briefly. Yeah, and I appreciate your call. Thank you, Andy. What you're talking about, that story over at LandYap, that Meta Platforms is now upped its ante as its Montgomery data center's $2.44 billion. It's almost fold money there. A total energy burden that translates into two massive solar projects in Baldwin County, all of which will be owned by the tech enterprise behind Facebook and WhatsApp. In other words, it's old Zucky Boy. New details on the project came to light this week with additional abatement. This is the thing, though, the abatement thing. Now, I got a problem. This is not about solar. It's about how much do we do to recruit business? I mean, we've gone through this over and over again, right? I mean, I'm not saying you don't do anything, but where do you say, we're done with the abatement. Like, let South Carolina get it. You know, we do that with all kinds of different projects in the state. But it says new details on the project came to light this week with additional abatements that bring the company's total state tax benefits to $82 million, according to economic incentive disclosures published by Alabama Department of Commerce. Meta currently operates a data center in Huntsville and first announced its Montgomery project back in 2024. The company revealed in September of this last year, the campus is in the state capital, is expanding to two new buildings, bringing the campus footprint to nearly 1.3 million square feet and supporting just 175 jobs. Meta stated in September's announcement, new clean renewable energy projects supported by Meta are adding 227 megawatts in Alabama. Then in November, the Alabama Public Service Commission, oh yes, our PSC, they're watching out for us, y'all, approved Alabama Power to its plan to expand its grid with two solar field projects in Baldwin County, Stockton 1 and Stockton 2, which will generate 80 megawatts and 180 megawatts, respectively. Meta owns renewable energy rights to both solar fields and will sell Alabama Power the energy created from them. Both fields are expected to be operational by 2028. So, okay, so Meta will own the rights, the energy rights, and then we'll sell Alabama Power the energy created from them. And I guess, and then they buy back a part of it? Or do they have two? Do they sell it to Alabama Power and then they get it back from Alabama Power? Or do they have one line that goes to the data center here? And then, so according to the company, the Montgomery Data Center energy use will be matched by 100% clean and renewable energy. So everybody can feel good about themselves. The capacity was unavailable on Alabama Power's grid when they announced the project 2 years ago. Remember, this is the same Alabama Power, though, that tells me that if I want to have solar in addition to, you know, to commercial power, Alabama Power, I have to pay a fee to be able to have solar. Y'all remember that, right? It's a monthly fee, whether you're using it or not. The deal that was signed and approved by Governor Ivey on January 20th with Dodier LLC is a third for the Meta subsidiary. January 20th tax credit shows another $800 million being dedicated to the campus, adding 50 jobs with an average hourly wage of $38.50 an hour. The Meta subsidiary will receive an investment credit worth $20 million, which the state estimates will see a 22% return over 10 years. Interestingly, the 20-year return on investment for the work is projected to be lower at 18%. Meta was granted another $20 million credit when it announced the expansion back in September. So this is why this gets attention, like of Annie and solar panels and living near them. It also goes back to this conversation we've had for a long time on the station about how much the state, when, now to say we do nothing to recruit business, yeah, you know, because I mean, they don't give us any kind of incentives as, you know, small, medium sized business. We don't get anything. But you do have to have some things to be competitive. And, but have we gone too far? And I don't know if this deal's too far. It seems like pretty big money. We have done some deals in Alabama that I think, you know, was it worth doing all this? All right. Trace says, I'm working on a 700-acre solar farm up here in Jackson, Alabama. They're just about to wrap it up. Interesting. So you, which side of the bridge? Are you in Jackson, north of Jackson there? Are you like Leroy? Where are you? That's interesting. I'll have to get on Google Earth or Onyx and find it. Let's see. Separate our politicians from 68 Ventures. Takes a lot of power to run the police state. Okay, it's like a haiku in a little bit there. B-Dark said you should be able to buy a piece of land and do what you want. Rules and regulations is what runs up the cost on home. The government should not be able to control you. To some degree, I'm 90% with you. But if what you're doing on your property, I'm a big private property person, but if what you do on your property affects the next property or somebody downstream, as we say it, then we have a discussion. But if it stays all on your property, that's your business. But yeah, if you do something on your place or you're doing something on your place that could risk your neighbors, then we have to talk. But if it doesn't, absolutely do your thing. Scott says a new solar farm in Sims. Now this is interesting. So we've got Stockton, we've got Jackson. And now Scott's talking about Sims. He said, new solar farm in Sims on Lot Road. I think I remember seeing the land for sale, about 150 acres. No owner signs that I've seen. And gives me a Google Maps link. Interesting. Yeah, that's a nice thing about all the satellite stuff, I can sit and spy on all this and be what I do with my weekend. David said one piece of technology that U.S. Department of Energy at Los Alamos developed two or three decades ago were micronuclear reactors. And I'm going to stop right there before I read, because you may say this down further in your text. Have you seen these things, the ones that fit on it? You can pull them with a tractor trailer. I saw it. I think it was a real picture. It wasn't a mock-up. I think it was a real picture. Like, say, so it's a nuclear reactor. Fits like you can pull it with a semi, like a, you know, 18-wheeler rig. It was crazy looking. Amazing. David goes on to say that would be perfect for these new data centers for AI, but you'll never get them because NIMBYs and power companies would join forces to stop them. So the nuclear thing, and even somewhere nearby, I've got a 15-year-old, my boy, who's on the same page as me. He came to me with it. I said, son, I agree with you that nuclear power is, I think we're all stuck in what happened and the mistakes that happened with nuclear power in the past, and not realizing technology's gotten better on it, and it's a heck of a way to get energy to human beings. All right, let's see here. Okay, thank you, Trace. Gainstown. I know where Gainstown is, just outside of Jackson. I know exactly where Gainstown is. This texter said, saw a big one southwest of Foley, too. You know what we need to do here? We're going to put all this stuff together, like make a map. Yeah, so Chris in Orange Beach said, check out the solar farm between Foley and Bon Secours. So we need to map this. We need to do a little map. And the way I understand it, and I know this from a family of mine in Pennsylvania that were approached on this. I think we talked about it yesterday. And they didn't go with it, but it was their corn and alfalfa fields they wanted to turn into about 200-acre solar farm, because they were right next to the power line easement goes through the farm. Up there, it seemed to be the land that was of interest to these solar farms were adjacent or including a power line right away so they could tie in. I don't know if that's true everywhere. I don't know if that's how Meta does it, but it's interesting. We'll get back to the text at 243-251-343-0106 right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Let me do an additional promo for the show that I just promoed there, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, it's kind of bittersweet, but it's 41 years and retirement for the legendary Don Dubuque that you hear from 5 to 7 a.m. on Saturday mornings on FM Talk 106.5, preceding Mike Ward and I with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. His last show is a week from tomorrow. He is retiring, and he's going to join Mike and I to talk about his 41-year career in radio and TV broadcasts, but 41 years in radio doing outdoors. That'll be on tomorrow morning at 7 on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. The legendary Don Dubuque. All right. By the way, additionally, coming up on Tuesday, program note, or this is where I tell you stuff that's coming up. People say, programming note. In other words, here's something's coming up in the future. This discussion about the solar will go in depth at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. Scott Johnson from Landyap, who wrote that story, we were just reading through, is going to join me on the show to talk more about it. So that's 1 o'clock on Tuesday. So put that in your to-do list. Also, yeah, confirmation from Scott said, and this is interesting. Maybe we'll do a map here. He said the confirmed solar farms are on a 4,500-acre property at the corner of 65 and 59. And then you've got somebody at Gainstown, right, down towards the Alabama River, Gainstown. Another working on a 700-acre facility there, I think, is what he said. And then we've got another one. Oh, my gosh, where's the one in Huntsville? And there's another. I wonder what the map of it looks like. And then, you know, South Baldwin to Bon Secours. So this is interesting. How many, and I mean, we can do this. I mean, obviously, you can get on Google Earth, or you can get on Onyx or any of those apps and kind of cruise around and look for them. But it's I wonder how many we're going to have here in the state in the next year or so. All right, B-Dark says, South Baldwin better hope the power grid holds up during this cold snap with all the new construction, 100,000 new homes. Since when? I mean, there have been a bunch of new homes. Not 100,000 this year. So, let's see. Where are the... Yeah, right now we know of the Foley Bon Secours one. Several people chimed in about that. The 4,500-acre one that Annie had the call and Scott Johnson was talking about in his story over at landyapmobile.com. You can check it out. We've got one Lot Road. So Sims area, Gainstown, Clark County. That's at four right now. Probably missing some as well. All right, coming back, discussion of event coming up tomorrow at Hillspring Baptist Church. You followed the questions about what's happening with Fulton County and the election results. Well, you'll want to stay tuned.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You need someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now you can meet them fast on ZipRecruiter.